Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is truly honored to be your host, your loyal host and producer of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the program where, among many things, we take a look into the future. Today is Thursday, so we will be taking a look into the future. We're going to be, well, finding out what a lot of Americans have to say about where we are being taken when it comes to automation. I know that a lot of times we could say, well, we want to see where automation is taking us. It's really not automation that is taking us there. It is the people responsible for inventing the automation who are really the ones who are taking us there. Yeah, people are taking us there. We don't just get there. You don't, may not believe it, but for the most part, automation does not invent itself. People invent and develop automation, and so it is the people who are taking us wherever we're going through the automation. So, of course, we know that there are quite a few people, as we've said before, who are really, really working hard on getting to the point where they have developed automation to the place where our automobiles can drive without our assistance, or can be driven without our assistance. We can be waited on at the restaurants without human beings taking care of us, but human beings want to develop artificial intelligence that can wait on us. I'm curious, what do you think about that? Do you like the idea of something automated coming to take your order, bring your food, etc.? And think about all that this means for us now. That means in that industry, fewer people employed. So it's the whole issue, the whole notion of growing accustomed to being addressed by artificial beings instead of human beings. And that takes adjusting. I mean, that has an impact on us. Think about what we've been hearing about the impact that it's having on us to communicate through computers to each other. Through so much of the social media programs. We're communicating to each other, but through the computers. How about when we're no longer communicating through, but we're communicating to? And we're getting used to that. I say we're getting used to it. We're certainly living that out now a little bit more, right? All we have to do is tell Siri to let us know where the nearest restaurant is. Siri, where is the nearest gas station? And Siri will tell us where the nearest gas station is. I think it's great that we have so much of this automation using true human voices. Not all of it is, I know that, but some of it is. They're using actual human beings who have done the voicing, lent their voices so that the automation can take it from there and answer whatever question we come up with using the human voice, but the automation's ability to get the answer, to grab hold of the information. Well, what do you think about? Well, we'll be looking into that. We've got to. Because you know I'm still curious as to how this is affecting you based on where we are right now and where you think we might be taken in the future. Are you comfortable with where we are right now? How many of you use your voice command features on your telephones and your, I guess I should say, your smartphones and your automobiles? And you just tell the navigation system to navigate to such and such a place. And the navigation system starts telling you, you need to drive approximately 1.3 miles and turn right onto such and such a road. And it's literally talking to you, telling you how to get where you're going. I think there's probably good and bad. You know, I mentioned the social media, and we all know that, you know, one of the things that they're telling us more and more is that people are losing a lot of our social skills as a result of communicating through the computer so much, being communicated to by the automations, the computers, the artificial intelligence. And so if we keep that going, we're still doing the social media thing, and it develops even more so that they've made it even some more sophisticated than they've made it up to this point. And then we're also being greeted by artificial intelligence when we walk into the restaurant or when we walk into the store. Isn't it interesting that right now, some of our senior citizens who really are not ready, I mean, they're ready psychologically to retire, but they're not ready financially because of the way things were turned on us when it comes to finances. And so they're working, some because they've just got to feel productive, and just not having a job, having some way of being productive week after week just ain't their cup of tea. And I can dig that. But we also hear about a lot of senior citizens who are working because they have to work. They have to work in order to make ends meet. Can you imagine when some of the jobs that they're doing are taken up by artificial intelligence? Where would that leave those senior citizens who are working because they have to work in order to make ends meet? You suppose the people who are coming up, well, we'll talk about that some more. We will later today. In fact, probably starting at the beginning of the second segment, we're going to continue to find out what Pew Research discovered when they surveyed Americans to find out what people are thinking and feeling. Yep, feeling. Because I'm curious about not just what your thoughts are. I'm curious about your thoughts, but I'm also curious about your feelings. Do you feel anxious about where we're being taken? Do you feel excited? Do you feel just a calm, relaxed disposition that says, hey, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. I'm good with this. I'm curious about your thoughts and your feelings. Well, we'll get into that some more second segment. Right now, let's see what we can do about maybe developing a stronger love for more Americans. That's something that is really, really lacking in our country. There's a lot of lip service given to it, but not enough reality. I'm thinking again about the ongoing saga of the kneel, K-N-E-E-L, the kneel, kneeling at ball games in protest of the injustice that is so much a part of the American fabric, American life, always has been and continues to be. Well over 100 years later, more than 200 years later, we're still dealing with injustice. And so, of course, there are a lot of people who are still protesting injustice. And I know a lot of people are saying that they are against Colin Kaepernick because he disrespected the flag by kneeling during the national anthem. Some say he disrespected our military, our soldiers, by kneeling during the national anthem. How many of you heard and or read about the fact that it was a former Green Beret who actually encouraged Colin Kaepernick to kneel instead of sitting, because kneeling was a way that some of the military would show respect to their fallen comrades. And there were other instances where it was all about respect when the military would kneel. And so this former Green Beret, Mr. Boyer, Nate Boyer, and having a lengthy discussion with Colin Kaepernick about Colin Kaepernick's concerns about injustice in America and his desire to express his disapproval of the injustice and wanting to do that using a national platform, which of course would be TV during the games, televised scenes of the national anthem and how people were handling it. He wanted to express his disapproval of the injustice. Never was it about expressing disapproval of the American flag. We need to be very clear. Colin Kaepernick never, ever expressed, even felt, any disapproval of the American flag. He never expressed disapproval of America's military. He never expressed disapproval of our soldiers. He made it clear his disapproval was of injustice, particularly the injustice perpetrated upon the black community. Did he have a right to disapprove of the injustice? I would say yes. Did he have a right to be concerned about the hypocrisy? We say this is what we stand for, but in reality, some of us really do embrace the ideals attached to the American flag, and many of us don't. Many people in America do not embrace the ideals that are symbolized, represented by the American flag. They say that, and we have to remember, this is so important to keep in mind. The flag in and of itself has no inherent value. We see materials every day that inherently have more intrinsic value than the flag. The clothes we wear cover our bodies so that we don't have to walk around naked. These clothes have more inherent value than the American flag. What was the American flag before it was a flag? Where did the material come from? What was its starting point? Was it cotton out on the cotton field? Growing up out of the dirt? Was it nylon, artificially manufactured in a factory somewhere? Whatever the material is, it is material. And it didn't look like it looks like the finished product looks any more than our furniture that we use every day started out looking like what we purchased and put in our homes. A lot of that was started out as trees. And someone cut those trees down, made that wood in such a way that it could be formed into furniture. Got some materials that would provide padding, attached it to the wood, made a sofa, made a chair. We purchased it, put it in the house, put it in the office, put it in the church. The flag, really and truly, whatever materials that they're made of, no inherent value beyond what the material is. And we really do get more use from the clothes we wear, from the sheets and bedspreads and quilts that are on our beds. We get more use. We actually get more value from the material itself, because the blankets are helping to keep us warm. The clothes, the coat, the jackets help keep us warm. We are getting direct value from the cloth itself, from the material itself. Whether we call that material a shirt, a dress, a pair of shoes, we're getting direct benefit from the actual material. Once it's shaped into a shirt, once it's shaped into a tank top, once it's shaped into flip-flops, once it's shaped into underwear, and someone is using it, that person is getting direct benefit from that material. With the flag, this is not so. I'm not saying that the flag is something that should be dishonored. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the flag in and of itself, starting out as cotton, being woven together in a factory, having the dye placed on it so that it ends up red, white, and blue, with eventually the stars and the stripes put in the places they need to be put in while the die is being placed. And it ends up, we end up with that end product. After all is said and done, though, how many people take the flag down off the pole and then use it to warm themselves on the bed? How many people wear that flag? I'm not talking about a design with that. I mean, you could go ahead and make a shirt out of that design if you wanted to. Make a pair of shoes out of that design. I think we have some Stars and Stripes sneakers. I think I've seen that before. In fact, I know I have. Don't remember what brand, but we're getting some value from those sneakers. Not because the Stars and Stripes are on them, but because the shoes, the sneakers, are on the feet. That's what makes it. The shoes themselves have intrinsic value. How many of you have ever noticed that although your shoes, your sneakers, do help to warm your feet, they don't do so consciously? Yeah, I mean, your shoes really could care less about your feet. Your shoes really couldn't care less because your shoes have no knowledge of their existence. Your shoes don't love you. Your shoes don't talk to you. Your shoes don't laugh with you. And guess what? Neither does the flag. It doesn't love you. It doesn't laugh with you. It doesn't try to console you when you're upset. You might be able to look at that flag and have certain thoughts come to your mind, but it's not because the flag is putting it there, is putting those thoughts there. It's because you're bringing those thoughts from out from within your mind as you associate certain values, certain events with the flag. But the flag in and of itself is not bringing any of those thoughts to you. The flag has no idea that you're even thinking while you're looking at it. It just doesn't. It doesn't know that. The material, even with the colors and the designs, in and of itself, has no intrinsic value. The value, and the only value that the flag truly has, is the symbolic value that we attach to it by associating certain ideals when we think about the flag. Ideals such as liberty and justice for all Americans. And we know that there are many, many people who, for whom that really is important, that all Americans have freedom and that all Americans experience justice. We know that there are a whole lot of folks, though, for whom it is at least as important that not all Americans experience freedom and justice in a court of law, on the workplace. There are a lot of people who want to ensure that there are many, many, many millions upon millions of Americans who are denied freedom and justice. And so they work very hard to make their voices heard more and more and more, while they work equally hard to silence the voices of the races, the groups that they want to have oppressed. And people get upset because they say we're disrespecting our flag, we're disrespecting our soldiers. And that's an issue with the soldiers, because a lot of people say these soldiers are off somewhere fighting for our freedoms, for the values and the ideals that we find so important here in America. So keep that in mind. They're saying that the soldiers are fighting for our rights, our freedoms, and the ideals that we value, such as justice, equality. All of these are ideals that our that they say our soldiers are fighting for whenever they go off to war. Well, if that's the case, if that is true, and our soldiers are fighting so that we can maintain all these freedoms, so that equality and so that justice are the way of life for all of America, Who is truly showing those soldiers disrespect? The person who silently and peacefully kneels in protest of the hypocrisy, or the people who are perpetrating the hypocrisy? Who is truly showing the soldiers disrespect? The one who says we need to start being real when we say liberty, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We need to be real. Who is really showing our soldiers disrespect? The people who kneel in protest because so many American citizens are fighting to oppress many of their fellow Americans? Or are the people who are truly disrespecting our soldiers the ones who are working so hard, day in and day out, to try to ensure that justice, liberty for all, a nation undivided? They make sure that the nation is divided by coming up with ways to make it more difficult for people of color to vote. And as a result, ensuring that we will have people of all races fighting their efforts, fighting the efforts to silence people of color at the polls. Who is really disrespecting the soldiers? The ones who say we have got to start being genuine and sincere about this being one nation, under God, indivisible. Who is really disrespecting them? The ones who are saying we need to start being sincere about that, or the ones who are not sincere about it and continue to try to make life difficult for tens of millions of their American citizens, their fellow American citizens? Who is really showing the soldiers the disrespect? They're out there fighting, putting their lives on the line for any number of reasons, because we know that it doesn't all have to do with trying to protect America or American interests. We know that that's only part of the reason that they're sometimes sent out into war. But for those times that they are truly fighting for our safety, our protection, for our values, for our ideals, so that we can remain a democracy where we have one vote per person, per citizen, and everyone has the right to vote. And we have soldiers of all races who are out there putting their lives on the line, both genders, young and old, well, young and at least middle age. Who is really showing these soldiers disrespect? The people who fight against the very values that they say they're fighting for. The ones who say, hey, look, we're not going to say one word against these cops who kill non-threatening black citizens. But as soon as a cop is killed, we're going to speak out against that. And as I said before, policemen should not be shot and killed because someone just has an attitude. Whether that is, hey, look, we're tired of you all taking all these shots at us and gunning us down, we're going to give you a taste of your own medicine. That should not be happening. This shouldn't be happening either. The policemen are called out on domestic violence calls, cases, and they go out there and somebody starts shooting at them from the house when they go to try to break up this domestic violence. That shouldn't be happening either. And you have these people who are doing all kinds of things to violate the rights of so many Americans. In fact, doing what they can to take away as many of those rights as they can. Who is really disrespecting our soldiers? Our soldiers are fighting for our freedoms, And you have many, many millions of people working to take freedom away from many millions of fellow Americans. Who is really disrespecting the soldiers? Based on what the people themselves say, they're the ones who are really disrespecting American soldiers. So why is it so easy for so many of us to be so hostile and malicious towards someone like Colin Kaepernick and actually be glad that he can't get another job with the NFL, at least up to this point? We're glad that he can't get a job because we're angry at him. And I mean, even black people angry at Colin Kaepernick, having all kinds of malicious and hostile feelings. Even black people who say they love Jesus Christ. Glad that Colin Kaepernick has not been able to get a job because he disrespected, whether you say he disrespected the flag, the soldiers, or both. And isn't it interesting that there are so many soldiers who make it clear? I know that there are soldiers who disapprove of Colin Kaepernick's stance, and I think it's partly because they haven't really thought this through as thoroughly as they should have. But there are a lot of soldiers who have thought this through and make it very clear. They agree. They don't just say, well, he has a right to do what he's doing, and I don't have a problem with what he's doing. They're saying they agree with his stance. They agree that America, we need to have many more Americans who truly live up to these ideals and values that we say are so important to us. And I think that when we give a lot of thought to the fact that our Creator has made it clear that His people are supposed to speak out against and take action against injustice, inequality, oppression, God's people should be applauding what Colin Kaepernick has done. They should be applauding the fact that he has obeyed God. And if anything, they should be at least a little concerned about the fact that not only have they not obeyed God, but they're criticizing, maliciously criticizing someone who has obeyed God on this matter. Let's not be so quick, ladies and gentlemen, to shoot from the hip, jump the gun. We hear somebody who is a part of our camp speak out against something that's being done. Let's learn to slow ourselves down. As I've said before, don't allow our emotions to be in the driver's seat. That doesn't mean don't experience any emotion. Just don't let it be the driving force. Let our minds work, analyze, and see what really is. Don't be so quick to be hostile towards someone who may actually be on the right side of things. Don't think for a moment that just because someone takes a position and a whole lot of people take a stand against that person, that that person is necessarily wrong, that that person is on the wrong side of that issue. Because I can tell you, if that were the case, Jeremiah was definitely on the wrong side of everything he stood for. Because there were a whole lot of folks, especially political leaders, who were against him, who took a stand opposite him. Ezekiel was definitely on the wrong side because he had a whole lot of folks who were taking a different position than he took. And a lot of them were claiming to be followers of God, just like he was. And don't overlook the fact that if being on the wrong side, having, you know, a whole lot of folks against you, especially religious leaders, political leaders, and others, if they're coming against you because of the position you're taking, and that means you're on the wrong side, Jesus was definitely on the wrong side of everything he stood for.